والزهرة والحسنين، نرجو المولى رب الكون إكراما في الدارين.
All praise is due to Allah the Exalted, and may Allah raise the rank of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his kind relatives and companions, and protect his nation from that which he feared for them. Hello and welcome to all our listeners tuned in to Community Connect via 92.1 FM or 2MFM.org. As always, it's a pleasure to be joining you for another enriching episode of the show, and it is exciting as always to bring you information about the latest topics and issues. Joining you behind the microphone today is Nadia, and behind the second microphone is my lovely co-host, Ola. Ola, it's an absolute pleasure to be rejoining you on another exciting episode of the show.
Nadia, the pleasure is mine as always, and it's glad to be back on air to bring our listeners yet another installment of Community Connect. And today we are continuing on with a topic that we had initiated but never managed to finish.
That's right, Ola. Last episode, we discussed several tips pertaining to how to prepare for a long road trip during the busy holiday period. And of course, due to obvious reasons, there were a number of other tips that we didn't get the opportunity to discuss. And the obvious reason was due to the restriction of time, something we always struggle on the show.
That's right. And considering there were two facets to this topic, really, there were things to consider before making the trip, and there are other things to consider while you're on the road, and we haven't even managed to make it past the first facet. We haven't even finished.
Prior to making the trip.
We haven't even hit the road yet. So hopefully, with any luck today, we'll finish the first part, the first facet, and we'll be able to complete the second.
That's why we are here today, to pick up where we left off last episode, and inshallah we will be doing a short recap on some of the points that we discussed on last episode.
And we mean short.
Yes, very short. Stay tuned. Welcome back, dearest listeners. You are tuned in to a new episode, a new installment of Community Connect on 92.1 FM, the Muslim Community Radio. To prepare for a summer road trip, there are things to consider before making the trip, and they include.
So, of the first things to consider, make sure that you stock up on proper sleep before you begin your journey to avoid fatigue on the road.
take into consideration whether any of your kids or family members experience motion sickness.
In order to make your trip as smooth as possible, plan how many rest stops you will make and for how long, factoring in the check-in time at your destination.
And if your destination is long, such as if you're travelling interstate, you may want to consider an overnight stopover halfway, possibly at a budget motel where you can get some sleep, have a shower and refresh for the second leg of the trip.
And of course, ensure that your car is able to withstand a lengthy road trip. If you're not too sure, have a qualified technician inspect your vehicle.
Before making your trip, make sure your car is cleaned properly and decluttered so that everyone is sitting comfortably.
And do prepare an emergency kit in your car for unexpected events or occurrences.
Pack your own meals and snacks and make sure you have them handy so you can munch while you're on the go. Don't forget to also pack foods that are not too messy to eat for the kids and fill their drinks in spill-proof bottles so they don't make a mess in the car.
Plan the way you want to load your car, factoring in things that you may need access to during your road trip.
This may sound like common sense, but make sure you have a GPS device handy. Either buy one or download an application to your smartphone or tablet.
Inform your trusted neighbours that you will be away for how long and how to contact you in case of an emergency.
And finally, assign one of your neighbours to pick up the mail and any newspapers left on your premises, if you will be away for a while, that is, as these could tip off potential burglars that your house is vacant. So there you go, dearest listeners. Those are some of the points that Ola and I elaborated on last episode. And yes, it did take us 50 minutes to cover.
That's right. Hopefully today we can keep the chit-chat to a minimum and actually get the facts out. But we do have a few points still to cover on the first facet of that topic, which is what to do or the things to consider before you hit the road. And there are a few points to cover in that section, among which is the fact that you need to pack your patience with you, as you'll need lots of it, especially if you have little kids with you in the car. You'll be expecting a lot of traffic if you decide to travel during peak times. That's why it's preferred to drive at night or early in the morning to alleviate any traffic problems that you'll be likely to encounter.
That's right, Ola. I mean, when you're traveling during peak season, not only are you going to have to pack your clothes and shoes and snacks, but you do need to pack a lot of patience. Bundles of patience. And the reason why is very obvious, because you will be expecting a lot of traffic if you decide to travel during peak times. That's why, Ola, it's actually preferred to drive at night or early in the morning. And I suggest leaving early in the morning.
Early in the morning, I think, works. Again, we've tested various theories over the years on our road trips, and the best way to do it is really just before sunrise. It's still cool, especially if you're traveling in summer. It's still cool. If you have kids, they'll probably be asleep in the back, which is also a plus. And it will help you avoid that whole issue of driving at night when you are prone to start feeling sleepy.
Exactly. It is more ideal to leave early morning after a night's sleep as opposed to driving during the time that you would typically be asleep, because there is a good chance that you might fall asleep at the wheel and that could prove fatal.
Indeed.
For those of you who are hoping to catch some sleep in the car during the road trip, probably not you, Ola.
No,
you don't not me. Prefer to sleep in the car during a road trip. But for those like me who personally like to fall asleep on a nice long road trip, it is advised that you pack comforting items to help you fall asleep. And that includes packing something like a small pillow and blankets. Now, during the summer, I don't think many people would like to pack blankets with them, but I think that would work as a sun deterrent or something to help you block the sun with.
And look, even in summer, sometimes you get dramatic drops of temperature at night, and especially if you're travelling on the freeway where you've got the wind kind of smacking into your car. And it does start to feel cold even if you are in the middle of summer.
And don't forget, sometimes when someone prefers to have the aircon on full blast, you're going to have someone who, like me, would get cold very, very quickly.
AC battles, in case there is that one person who likes the AC on full blast and you can't tolerate it, take a jacket with you or if you want just like a light blanket.
Exactly. I mean, sleeping in the car can get very uncomfortable, but if you are traveling at night or sometimes early in the morning, you are bound to fall asleep, which is why it's advisable to bring with you something that would contribute to the comfortable effect in the car. Also, it's advised to wear looser clothing and take off your shoes or at least loosen the laces. Now, I don't advise you to take off your shoes if they're smelly.
I thought there was a different reason there, Nadia. But yeah, that's definitely a point to make.
I mean, if the windows are pushed down, there's no reason not to take your shoes off. But if the windows are up and it's a cold winter day, perhaps that's probably not a good idea.
I was going to say probably don't take your shoes off, because sometimes when you're sitting down with the legs hanging down for a while, they tend to swell and you can't actually get the shoes back on.
Maybe your reason is better.
Well, this is something I've personally experienced, so I know that this isn't a good idea for me, but I do try to wear shoes that are not too restrictive and that give me a bit of room to move in case I do get that swelling of the feet.
That is a great point to make. Well, during the summertime, a lot of people don't prefer to wear closed shoes, like sneakers perhaps. So a lot of people would be wearing thongs instead.
Yeah, or sandals, but I'm not one of those people. Of course, with your kids in the back, they will try all sorts of things to keep themselves entertained, including touching the things that they shouldn't be touching. So make sure that child safety locks are activated on windows and doors within reach of curious hands.
Exactly, Ola. The last thing you would want is for your child to open the door while you're speeding on the freeway and some kind of disaster happening on what is supposed to be a very enjoyable time for you and the family.
That's right. Or even, you know, the mere fact of, you know, opening the window with they find it fascinating that they can open something and close it with the press of a button for some reason. But they do that. And on the freeway, it can get incredibly annoying.
Exactly.
Travelling at 110 km/h.
Well, you can imagine. I mean, kids, number one, are very inquisitive in nature. And especially on a long road trip, they can get very bored. So something like a push of a button can entertain them.
And can entertain them, but it can also cause trouble for other people, because you never know how they will try and test their limits and who knows what kind of things they might try and throw out the window.
Exactly, which is why it's important to take those precautions, especially on a lengthy road trip. So make sure that those safety precautions are put in place, like the safety locks are activated on windows and doors within reach of curious hands. Now, anyone who is potty training their child or has potty trained their child understands how much of a challenge it can actually be at home, let alone on a lengthy road trip. Ola, there's
I don't think a road trip is the right time to take if you're actually potty training child.
Which is why it's important if you have a scheduled road trip to either defer the potty training or defer the road trip for another time. And when it comes to potty training, believe me, I'm an expert at the moment, currently potty training my son. But when it comes to potty training, it's advised that you do it at a time when there's no significant changes happening or plans happening. That's so right. A road trip is definitely not the right time to be potty training your child.
But if they are already potty trained but have not been potty trained for that long, then you can still go on that road trip if your child has learnt how to hold themselves or if you're willing to take the potty along with you.
Exactly. Now, you don't have to completely ditch the idea of a family vacation while they are toilet training. You don't need to, but you do need to take precautions. So obviously, when it comes to a lengthy road trip, there is the unpredictability of knowing when the next rest stop will be.
Be prepared for a lot of stops along the highway.
That's right. That's why I personally would suggest, when it comes to having those stopovers, that you encourage your child to go to the bathroom even if they tell you, I don't need
even
to go.
Even if they're screaming, I don't want to go to the
Exactly. And another tip that a lot of parents would share is to bring a portable potty with you. If it fits in the car, that is.
Trust me, I've done it. Some very compact ones that you can get and just chuck it in a plastic bag and in the back boot.
Why not?
Or just in the front seat next to them.
Exactly.
For easy access in case. But like, you can do it. It's just maybe sometimes a little inconvenient. And yes, be prepared for those pullovers on the side of the freeway.
Plenty of pullovers, especially if you have a newborn baby with you. You're going to expect maybe a lot of puking, a lot of vomiting as well. Or perhaps if you have a toddler, and we mentioned and discussed this on last episode, that a lot of people experience motion sickness. So be prepared for nasty things happening in the car.
Lots of wipes, lots of plastic bags.
Finally, Ola, we finished with the tips pertaining to prior to hitting the road. Now
we can get into the car.
Finally. Put our seatbelts on.
Click. Okay, so tips to consider while you're on the road. Be mindful that a lot of police will be on the road over this holiday period. So stick to the designated speed limit, although you should be doing that anyway, and obey the road rules and always carry your driver's license with you, because there's nothing worse than, you know, you having planned this whole trip to go and have fun and then you being slapped with some huge fine and losing half the demerit points on your license. So it's really not worth it. For the things like, if you want to do 10Ks over the speed limit, at the end of the day, you're going to get there like, what, 5 minutes earlier?
Exactly.
But, you know, you would have lost half your license in the meantime, if not all of it, depending on how fast you were going, and lost a huge chunk of money that you could have spent on your holiday.
Not only is there the potential of losing money, Ola, but there is the potential of losing your life.
That's right.
And contributing to someone's loss of life. As we know, during this period of time, there are a lot of risks for road users, especially with the increased traffic conditions on the road, people driving in unfamiliar conditions, and the higher number of people actually driving on the road under the influence of drugs and alcohol. And all of these things are contributing factors to an increased number of accidents.
That's right. And this may be a good point, Nadia, to remind our listeners that we're not telling you don't use your mobile phone, just do it legally.
Exactly.
You know, have a cradle there, use your voice activation, wireless, Bluetooth, whatever you need to, but don't touch the phone.
That's right. I mean, there's a reason why there's an increase in accidents. It's because using your phone while driving
is a distraction.
Is a massive distraction.
And we know on the freeway, all it takes is, you know, 1 second you look away and you've traveled, you know, half a kilometre.
How many times do we look at something for 1 second, one moment, and we would be about to hit someone in front of us?
That's right.
So it's important to be mindful of the risks associated with using your mobile phone while driving, especially during these peak times on the road when many people will be on the road. High congestion.
That's right. And you actually need to be a bit more cautious during that period of time because there are a lot more people on the road than normally. And not everybody is, you know, a strong driver. Not everybody pays good attention while they're on the road. So you have to drive almost for yourself and for everybody else.
Exactly. So keep safe on the roads during these summer holidays and stay alert on the road. So during a road trip, especially on a lengthy one, can get very, very, very uncomfortable for you, which is why it's important to fine-tune your driving position to suit your body shape. Now, you can do this by enforcing or by incorporating a number of different positions. Now, the first of which is by ensuring that your seat is adjusted properly for your body. And that's to ensure maximum blood flow. Now, as we know, on a lengthy road trip, you're going to be sitting down for quite a number of hours. So your body is not really moving as much as it should be, which is why you need to ensure that your seat is adjusted properly prior to hitting the road, not during the time you're on the road. A lot of people start to fix the mirror, fix the seat as they are driving, and that's a big no-no.
That's a big no-no, and this is particularly important for the driver because other people in the car can kind of wiggle about and get comfortable as needed, but when you're the driver, you're pretty much fixed in a constant position. Can get quite numb after a while of having your foot extended in a certain angle and your hands on the steering wheel at a certain angle, and you almost feel stiff by the end of it.
That's right. But the positive aspect of going on a road trip is that, as we mentioned before, you have that option of pulling over to the side, stretching a bit, moving a bit. That's something you probably can't do much on a flight. So it does provide a number of benefits for us. Also, other things to consider include pushing your bottom as near as possible to the backrest. The distance from the seat to the pedals is adjusted so that your knee is slightly bent when the pedals are fully depressed. Setting the seat height as high as possible also is important because this ensures an unobstructed view to all sides and all displays on the instrument panel.
And if you're a shorty like me, then you may need like a little prop.
Exactly. And there are a host of other things to consider to help you remain comfortable during your road trip. And look, ensuring your car is set up correctly for every journey not only provides optimal comfort, but it also helps to ensure your journey is a safe one. The way you're sitting, being comfortable, will hopefully prevent accidents from happening and improve safety should an accident occur.
That's right. And look, the next point we have for you is regarding, you know, choosing the right time to travel. Now, we've mentioned this a little bit before, but we spoke about it in terms of avoiding traffic.
Yeah.
This one is time in more in terms of your own comfort. And this is really talking about choosing the time that is closest to your child's sleep time or nap time, because that ensures you get some peace and quiet.
Oh, how lovely.
Which is a
something
rarity.
You don't usually get.
Which is a bit of a rarity on a road trip. So you may want to take this into consideration. So try to set out on your trip at a time when your kids are usually asleep or napping. This could be early in the morning, as mentioned before. So before the sun rises, which can also help you beat the traffic, or just before their bedtime in the evening. Be mindful, though, that if you are making a nighttime drive, that you are well rested in advance. The nighttime drive is usually a better option for shorter trips that are no more than a few hours long, so you're not driving all the way through the night.
Exactly. Now, a lot of these points, I guess, are intertwined with each other, and there's a strong connection. They are overlapping, but this point is very important if you want to save your sanity by the end of your trip and ensure that your children are happy and content by the end of the trip, then you need to make these considerations.
You may just cut down the number of "are we there yet" by like 125.
Exactly. So that's a great consideration to make when you're on a lengthy road trip. Now, Ola, a lot of the points that we are about to continue discussing are in relation to children, and that's another hot topic on its own, because when you travel as a couple, it's different to traveling with kids, and it can be a very daunting experience if you don't follow these particular tips.
It can be a particularly daunting experience if it's the first time you're traveling with a child.
It'll probably be your last after having a negative experience. But don't let that negative experience define what a road trip is truly about, because it's meant to be a very memorable and enjoyable experience for everyone.
Just don't let it be memorable for all the wrong reasons.
Exactly. Well, this is something I would typically do and something my husband would tell me not to do. As tempting as it might be to give your kids sweets and lollies to bribe them to stay quiet, try not to do that, because we know sugar equals hyperactivity. It's a recipe for hyperactivity.
And hyperactivity in a confined space
is a no-no.
Spells disaster.
So if you are going to give them sweets, do so just before a rest stop. And that's so they have a chance to burn off the extra energy before they get back in the car. So if you don't want hyperactivity and craziness happening in the car, don't overfeed them with sweets and lollies.
It's all about the timing. Just get the timing right.
Get
You'll
the
be
timing
fine.
Right. Exactly. Otherwise, it'll be a recipe for disaster.
This is one that we've also mentioned a few times. Although a lot of people prefer to minimize the number of breaks and stopovers so that they can arrive to their destination as quickly as possible, it is super important to take regular breaks, even if it's just to stop and get out of the car to stand up, have a stretch, and go to the bathroom. If you choose to have stopovers or switch drivers, it would be ideal to do so every hour or two, depending on the length of your trip.
Also, plan to do some sightseeing along your route. Now, if you're traveling at night, this is probably not an option for you because A, you can't see anything, and B, probably it will be a scary experience jumping out of the car, especially if there's no road lights in sight. But
unless you wanted to invest in a pair of infrared goggles.
Exactly. That's another expense to add on the list. Yeah. But, you know, sightseeing is a great way of making your journey feel more like an actual road trip rather than a long drive.
See, that's the thing, Nadia. And a lot of people do treat it like it's just, you know, it's one like route that you just have to get there as soon as possible. Why not make the most of what you're experiencing while you're on your way?
You might as well. There are so many beautiful scenic...
We have discovered so many places and so many attractions just on our road trips that we never knew existed before, that we hadn't factored into our trip, nothing like that. But it was just one of those things where we're driving along, we've seen the signage, or we've, you know, gotten curious and maybe taken like a side road.
Exactly. Australia is indeed filled with numerous attractions that really a lot of people from overseas travel to Australia to actually see, and we pretty much take advantage of it. We don't know much about our beautiful country.
And look, this is where I have another tip to add on to this one. Usually when we take a road trip, we are often traveling along a freeways, and freeways we know are very, very boring. There's nothing but like patches of green or patches of nothing on either side, and at night it's even more boring.
Yep.
If you do have an option, and I know this can extend the length of your trip, but if you're not in a hurry and you really do want to make the most out of that road trip, if there is a scenic route option, take the scenic route.
As opposed to the shorter route.
As opposed to the shorter but more boring
route.
Exactly. You can take the scenic but longer route and, you know, make something out of it on the way.
Exactly. And to be quite honest, it will feel very short. Because you're enjoying it. Enjoying something, time goes by so quickly. So take that option. Take the option of taking the scenic route as opposed to the boring but short route. And you can capture a whole heap of memories along the way as opposed to everyone sitting in the car and kids in the background saying, I'm bored. Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Instead, you can hear your kids saying, wow, Mum, what's that?
Yeah.
Probably even worse, but anyway. What's that? What is
that? So it's all about really what do you want to hear coming out of your children's mouths?
Or you have the option of placing sticky tape. No, I'm joking.
No, don't do that.
More tips for the parents, Sola. And no, let's ditch the sticky tape idea.
Not a good idea.
It's not an option.
No, not an option. After all, you want them to enjoy the road trip as well, but not at the expense of your sanity, which is why it's a good idea to pack some games and toys for your kids. I know it's the easiest option to just pack their tablet and get it over and done with, but their tablet's not going to keep them entertained all the way through.
Exactly.
They will tire of it. The battery might run out.
Not only that, you want them to be adventurous and to really notice their surroundings. If they're closely embedded with their tablets and all sorts of other technological devices,
that's right,
then really you're not contributing to their imagination as much.
That's right. I mean, if you do have them loaded up with a tablet or something, get them to take photos with it. You know, oh, look, you know, if you see this, take a photo. If you see that, take a photo. That way
they're busy with taking photos and not asking you questions way through.
That's right. Unless they're asking you, oh, is this a good one? Is this a good one?
And if your kids have electronic gadgets such as tablets, ensure that you pack each of them a headset or earphones, again, to keep the noise levels down.
Can you imagine three tablets in the back seat all playing different things?
I mean, that's if you have three kids in the back.
That's if you have three kids in the back. I've invested in my own set of headphones.
Exactly.
That I could just put on and, you know, you can do whatever you like back there. So that's also an idea. In terms of packing games and toys for your kids, pack a set for each child rather than have them share. I know it's tempting just to like bundle everything in one sack and just throw it in the back seat for them and just tell them to share. But we know kids and sharing
Don't mix. That's right. And that really takes us to the next point. There's bound to be some scrambling over the charging ports. There's going to be scrambling with a lot of things. And the point you just elaborated on pertaining to ensuring that each of them has something for them to be entertained with, as opposed to giving one child and then, you know, the other one have to wait for it.
When's my turn?
Yes, you'll be hearing a lot of that if you don't enforce this particular point.
But he's already had it for an hour. Trust me, I've
been
seen
there.
It all.
Exactly. But yes, in relation to charging ports, it would be a good idea to invest in a couple of battery packs to keep everyone juiced up along the way. Now, just make sure your battery packs are charged up before you set out on your trip.
That's right, because how many of us have a couple of these battery packs lying around the house, but then we use them and then we forget to recharge them? Well,
it defeats the purpose.
Defeats the purpose, and they're of no use when they're empty. So do make sure. I'm hopeless at this, by the way.
Yeah.
I need to take my own advice on this. Every time you use it and it becomes empty, just try and charge it up straight away so you don't keep forgetting, and you can avoid the disappointment of plugging your device into this portable charger and finding no blips.
When you're in a car, Ola, especially on a long road trip, it's important to stay organized. And there is a particular point that we wish to talk about pertaining to investing in some backseat organizers.
Mm.
How awesome would that be, especially if you have three kids in the back?
Oh, yeah, of course. Especially when you're taking everything along with you, except for the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
You've got, you know.
Yeah.
Half of your furnishings almost, half
exactly.
of your wardrobe and half the kitchen all in your car, things can get quite messy.
You
know, throw the kids' toys and gadgets and all the rest of it on top of that, and kids aren't really good at keeping anything organized to start with.
That's right.
And you've got yourself one big mess and everybody's going to be fighting over everything. So, yeah, those backseat organizers I think are a great way. It keeps everything in reach of them, so they're not constantly telling you, Mom, can you give me this? Mom, can you give me that? And then you spend half your trip half twisted to the back, just handing things over to them.
And can you imagine how extremely stressful that would be on the driver himself or herself, having to experience something like that in a confined space? So we've got people throwing things at each other, trying to reach for a specific gadget or accessory or snack. So it's really important to keep things organized. You don't want to have things everywhere in a confined space. So keep it structured, keep it organized, and I'm sure there are plenty of backseat organizers that you can purchase anywhere.
Anywhere. I've seen them just about everywhere that I've been in, and they're not expensive at all. So they're worth the investment, and they're something that can keep your car organized all year around. It's not just something that you're going to use on the one occasion and never use again. If your kids are with you all year around, then they'll come in handy for 12 months of the year.
We addressed this point, Ola, a number of times, and we 5 seconds ago were talking about it, and that's in relation to the clutter and the rubbish that is found in the car during a lengthy road trip. Now, we can't stress enough how important it is to actually keep your car clean. We mentioned that the car can get incredibly messy during long road trips, and rubbish can pile up very quickly on the road. So it is important to stay on top of it by removing the rubbish that is accumulated at every single stop. And it might be helpful to have plastic bags handy so that all the rubbish can remain in one location.
Very good tip, and one that will save you a stinky car, because if anybody knows, sometimes the wrappings of some food products, if they're left in the car, the sun hits the car, it's 60 degrees in there, and you come back and the stench is intolerable. So don't leave anything half eaten. Make sure all that stuff is removed from your car. Anything with milk in it definitely has to go, because the last thing you want is something with spilt milk on the carpet of your car.
It is
awful. Everybody who has kids knows this one because of their bottles.
Oh, my God.
And it absolutely stinks your car. So do pay attention to that, because it's going to be one annoying road trip on the way back.
Exactly.
If this happens to you from the get-go.
And you don't want everything to pile up. I know for many people, they prefer to clean the car up once they arrive at their destination, but that could mean you're removing or taking away an hour of your precious holiday time.
Oh, look, that car is probably going to need a really good wash after all the bugs.
There's someone I know who actually likes to clean their car before going on a road trip, and I always seem to oppose that idea of cleaning the car. I mean, I understand why. It's nice to be in a clean car when you're on vacation, but there's no point, because it's going to get messy, it's going to get dirty, and you're not going to be happy.
Especially if you have a beach stopover and you get all the sand in your car.
Which you're most likely going to be doing, especially during the summertime. So we mentioned it's very handy to have heaps of plastic bags in the car, but there's a great hack, a great tip that we noticed and we would like to share with you. A handy tip would be to use a plastic cereal container as a no-spill rubbish bin in the car. And the reason why is because you can put the lid on and
contains all the smells and everything.
Exactly. So that's a great hack. All you can do is simply place a plastic bag inside the container and pop the lid on.
Yep.
It's a great alternative to simply having a plastic bag, because
but you can rest assured that your children are never going to use it and they're still going to throw everything on the floor.
Well, let's try. If we don't try, we won't know. Ta-da! We finally reached the final point on our list. And I'm sure there's heaps of other points.
How did we do it?
Out there that many people would like to share with us. But these are the tips that we could come up with.
Oh, look, if we were to cover every single point associated with this topic, it would be like a month series. But I think in two episodes, we've covered, you know, the really important points and the ones that really matter the most. We have, in fact, arrived at our last point, and that is a safety tip for all you passenger seat folks out there who like to put their feet up on the dashboard.
Oh, no.
Personally, I don't do this. I never have. Can't. I just can't. Yeah. The whole idea doesn't sit well with me. But for all those of you who do, it's not just I find it distasteful, but it's also unsafe, because in the event of a collision, if you're traveling in a car which has airbags, and most cars do, they can deploy at up to 220 miles per hour and deliver a force of more than 399 kilograms to a front seat passenger. 400 kilograms almost of force will be hitting you smack bang in the feet. And can you imagine where those knees are going?
Oh, straight to your face.
Oh, yes. So it is going to be a very, very unsightly situation for you, very painful and possibly fatal.
Yep,
so don't do it.
If you don't want to be a pancake by the end of your road trip, don't do this.
What road trip? That's why you. That's where your road trip ends. That's it.
What if it's at the end of the road trip, Ola, on your way
could
home?
Be. It could be. But yeah, the point is don't do it. Feet and dashboards don't
do
mix.
Do not mix. Yeah. That's great. Well, it is important that we ended this topic on this particular point because safety is probably the most crucial aspect when it comes to traveling on the road.
You're not going to be having a good nor a bad holiday experience if you're not around to see it.
No, safety is important, and that's why we shared a host of safety tips pertaining to holiday road trips. We really do hope that our listeners found these tips useful and helpful in making their road trip safe and memorable, in a good way, that is.
Hopefully we have, and we look forward to connecting with you on another episode of Community Connect.